Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I sit down with Grammy-nominated producer, singer, songwriter, as we find out, former DJ, and just really, really nice dude. My guest today is SX, and yeah, I mean, my God, just when I was prepping for this, just looking at the people that he's worked with, you know, Chance the Rapper, Childish Gambino, Future, Lil Wayne, Nicki Minaj, and I mean, you obviously probably know him as well for being on Celebrity Gogglebox with KSI. So what we get today is a real mixed bag of a chat. We get some really, really lovely natters about songs, but we get into it about mental health, and it's really insightful, and it's a wonderful chat, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. What I'll also say is, if this is your first time listening, when you get to the end of this chat, go and explore the back catalogue, because there's over 320 episodes now. You can hear me talking to a really diverse array of people. If you like producers, I've spoken to Fatboy Slim, Butch Vig, and yeah, if you like your bands, you can hear me talking to Foo Fighters, Motley Crue, Suede, Idols, Sleaford Mods, and if you like your actors and comedians, you can hear me talking to Maxine Peake, Joe Hartley, James Acaster, Ed Gamble. Oh, there's loads. The best thing to do is just go and explore the back catalogue, because there's hundreds and hundreds of episodes, and they're all really, really good chats, as is today's. And it's just really nice to be able to kind of speak to someone that's so open and honest about, you know, making your happiness paramount. And it's, yeah, it was a real beautiful chat. So I'm not going to keep waffling. I'm going to get this episode rolling. So yeah, please enjoy Off the Beat and Track Podcast with SX. Right, I've got to take a quick break in this podcast because I've got some super exciting news. Off the Beat and Track Podcast is proud to go into partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. That's right. The Cacao Bar is not a chocolate bar. It's all the best bits of a chocolate bar put into a really exciting new alcoholic range. That's right. Gin, vodka, and a beautiful range of cream liqueurs. So one of the big bonuses of this partnership is, obviously, I'm super thrilled to have Hotel Chocolat working with us, but they sent me a great big box of this stuff, and I'm telling you, it's amazing. Go and check it out, www.hotelchocolat.com, or over on the socials at Hotel Chocolat. But yeah, in the coming months, there's going to be opportunities for you to get involved with competitions with us, to win bottles of stuff. There's loads of exciting things coming soon, and I can't be more happy to say that this podcast is in partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. All right, let's get back to the podcast. It's Off the Beat and Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin. Okay, we are recording. How you doing?
I'm really well, man. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. We should point out that we're recording this on the 9th of August, you know, a few weeks after the UK's kind of come out of a very strange sort of 16 months of change. And with that in mind, before we get onto your playlist, I just want to know how you found the last 16 months, both personally and creatively.
Honestly, you see, creatively, it's been amazing because we've had every day to do something new, you know what I mean? So creatively, I've been able to make music pretty much every day whenever I want at home, especially during the start of the lockdown last year. But in terms of personally, it's been one of the best but worst years for me because I've flourished with, you know, working so closely with KSI, producing on his album and writing and being a big part of that, which is amazing. So as a producer and a writer, I've had a great year. But as an artist and my own thing, you know, it's been pretty... Are we allowed to swear on here?
Yeah, of course.
It's been shit, man, because I found myself, like, being in a situation where I signed my first record deal ever at the top of, well, April last year. And honestly, man, that was a situation for me where I've never... It was a transition because I went from being a full independent artist, you know, working at my mum's house to being signed to this record label, and the whole dynamic of how you release music, how you strategize, it's all changed. So it just kind of put me in a space, oh wow, this is new, on top of being in a pandemic where we can't do shows, can't release music, no one knew what was happening. So it went pretty shit, man. And that kind of just continued for about a year almost, and I'm now with a new label. So finally, with the whole UK being off lockdown type thing,
sure,
now my mixtape's coming out finally. So I feel like although this year has been pretty shit but great at the same time,
yeah,
it's about to change for me, you know, and that's why I've called the project The Repeat When I Go and Miss, because it's a reflection, a recap of that time, man, and just the whole leave it over there type thing, you know. Yeah.
So are you finding that it's just a game of getting the balance right between your production work and being an artist in your own right?
I'm finding that that's what life is about in general right now, is just balance and just being able to be in a place where you are in control of your happiness, your everyday moves, you know what I mean? Just everything. That's what my whole kind of ethos is right now, is just balance, man, from diet to maybe not making music every day and having time out to just chill and be like, you know what? Nah, me time today.
It's strange though, isn't it? It's like, I run nightclubs and stuff, and so my work stopped instantly. And so I've kind of gone back into to other bits and pieces that I do. Whereas what I found was really strange was I'd stop for like 30 minutes to grab like a sandwich. And then the minute I'd finished, I'd like be like, right, get back to work. And it's like, why? Why am I fucking rushing back to work? It's like, if I want to take a couple of hours out and I'd turn the TV on while I had lunch, in a minute I'd finish my food, I'd turn the TV off. And it's like, man, watch TV for a couple of hours. It's like, why not use this time to reset? Do you know what I mean?
I feel like as men, bro, like we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to just be like, nah, gotta do this. I can't be like stationary, maybe. Yeah. Well, for me, my experience is that's how I've always felt. Just like being in my own company most of the time, growing up as a child on my own, like it's always been my day is run by me, obviously. The same for everyone, but I just mean it like as men, man, we put pressure on ourselves to think that we can't take time out, maybe, or like, you know, you have to hold things in or just keep going as well. Like, not to take what you said on a deeper level, but just as an elaboration from that, I feel like balance, man,
yeah,
is the key. Take some time out to just be like, nah, not today.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter, like, because personal happiness is the number one key, man, in life. And
absolutely.
Then it shows through your actions if you're unhappy or unsettled, you know?
Well, let's start the playlist. And for track one, I always ask guests to tell me the song they regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't have a specific song.
Okay.
This is because mostly I'm a big overthinker. So if I've got a classic piece in my head that I'm thinking of, I can't just pull it out and be like, that's the one. But something that's recently always been sticking with me is the Pharrell Williams intro, where it's just mostly just the looped hip hop beat throughout. But there's something epic the way he just makes it go. Mm, 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 mm. I don't know, it just blows my mind every time. And that's like his signature thing. So it's just epic, man. I used it in one of my recent songs on the mixtape called Too Late in the Night. It just sets the tone, man. So just the intro, just it's kind of like disrespectful, but also a big flex to just be like, look, I'm just going to make you hear the first sound four times before, you know, before the song drops. So that's my favorite style of intro right now.
Well, you mentioned something a moment ago about like coming back out of the pandemic and how the industry's changed and how you'll find it different as an artist now. As a sort of producer and a songwriter, it's certainly in I'm a lot older than you, but I've seen the way that people listen to music and where they get their music from has changed dramatically in the last sort of 15 years. You know, we've seen the evolution of streaming, and now we're seeing, you know, software like TikTok and stuff like that being key in the exposure of music. With that in mind, these changes in technology, does that ever affect you when you sit down and you're writing, or are you very sort of primal in, you write what you write, you create it as an artist, it's a piece of work, or are them outside influences that I'm sure, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, the record label might be going, we need a single, we need this. And, you know, do these things filter through? And so mainly I want to get onto the side of, you know, does the technology and the way that people listen to music and them very fast evolving attention spans seem to be shortening. Are these all considerations when you're right?
Yeah, that's a sick question, man. Really good question. I feel like, in honesty, it's a mixture of both, man, because that's where the true artistry comes from, with the no pressure of playlists or numbers, just being able to go in the studio and make what you want to make.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like where we all started music, probably, is to just create and have fun with it. And obviously, like you said, with the labels and strategies and wanting to have the single and knowing what song might pop on TikTok or what might be, I don't know, you know, it's all... Music's just like fashion, isn't it, man? It just changes constantly, and it's just like, who's going to hop on the next bandwagon? But I feel like there's certain artists that hold their own and just have their own type of thing, and I feel like that's the kind of artist I am, or at least I'd like to think, because I produce all my music myself, and I don't have anyone to tell me no in terms of, you know, singles. But the label or whoever will still be like, look, let's go with this. It's definitely... the streaming world, to answer your question, I'm babbling on, my bad. To answer your question, I feel like the attention span of people is so small now, which is like, it means that you just constantly need to be dropping music, basically, because you could drop a song and wait 4 to 6, 8 weeks to drop your next one. But then it's like, the fans have heard it in a day, and now they've heard it on repeat. And then XYZ artist is dropping a song this week, next week, every day. And maybe they're not signed to a label, so they can put music out whenever they want.
Yeah.
Meaning that they might not be getting millions of streams, but if they're putting 10 songs out a month and they're all getting 100,000 streams, then it's a game of either or, man. It's a really answer. There is no rule or any trick, is there, or any kind of way to adapt to this new time. I feel like it's just like, put music out. If it sticks on TikTok and blows up, then you've won. You know? Because that's what will make your song have longevity in the charts, I guess. But
do you think there's a balance between, you know, you said that you know, the fashions of music change so quickly. Do you think there is a fundamental difference between fashion and style? And I always kind of like use the kind of example of like a pair of Levi 501s, right? They're just a stylish cut of jean, right? You got skinny jeans, you got boot cuts, you got flares. They're all going to fucking come and go. But Levi 501 will continue. Do you know what I mean?
And that's what you just said it, like, the style and this fashion. So fashion is when it's changing and people are going to be, oh, bandwagon this, that's cool. But style is like, yo, this is me. This is my artistry. However I put it out musically, fashionally, or, you know, that's what it is, man. Some people change their personalities based on what's going on at the time. Like, you know, it's weird, man.
But people ultimately, the people that are buying it and your consumers, they're going to see through that sooner or later. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can't continue to fake that, can you?
only ever real stuff's going to last, you know? Like we all love a little bandwagon here and there. That's what keeps us excited about stuff. Yeah. But that's why there's legends and there's just cool, like, good people, you know? And it's just about being true to yourself, man. Do what you want to do. Live your life with your own pen. Write it yourself, you know what I mean? Whatever you want to do is do it. That's been my whole kind of thing, man. That's where I'm at right now. And I'm 29 years old, so I'm still young, but I'm also, I've just turned 29, like, last week. So I feel like I'm learning a lot about, I'm maturing, man.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm maturing, like, by the day.
Listen up. I've only got another new sponsor. Egg Fried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humour in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, E-G-G-S-A-L-A-D, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Egg Fried. Also, they've got a new kids range, and it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com. Well, before you mature too much, I'm going to take you back. And track two, I'm going to ask you to tell me the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
So, I think it was an Eminem song called The Way I Am. And I think it wasn't really an emotional in terms of sad feeling. It was more just like the first time I'd listened to a song, a rap song especially, and maybe I was like 8, 9. I remember listening to the lyrics and him speaking about how he feels like he's fucked up or he's been through this and that, and he's saying, look, it's just the way I am. It was the first time that I was like, oh, wow, this is like a diary almost. It's personal. It's not a song, you know? That was definitely the first time that, because I remember I used to listen to it all the time, and that album, I think it was the Marshall Mathers LP.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. I just remember I had that on CD, and I definitely shouldn't have had it at that age, but yeah. I had it. And that was it, man. Definitely that song for me. Yeah.
But the fact that you shouldn't have had it at that age, that's only going to add to the excitement and curiosity of, like, what it's all about, right?
Oh, honestly, like, I have an 8-year-old daughter now and a 5-year-old daughter, but she's, like, my oldest is so on the ball, and because they have YouTube and all this stuff, I'm just like, man, I know you know some stuff you ain't telling me about. You know? But it's one of them, man. Who knows? That's what makes you who you are. You're supposed to be a kid and kind of find out things that maybe you shouldn't, and discover yourself, because before you know it, you'll be a teenager, and then before you know it, you're in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So those formative years, whereabouts was that? Where did you grow up?
Wolverhampton.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here right now. I still live here, born and raised.
And so was you raised in a musical house?
Not a musical house in terms of people playing instruments, but I was raised in a musical house where my mom would play, like, dance music all the time, and kind of old songs like Mamas and Papas and ABBA and all the classics, you know? And then my brother, he was a DJ, so he'd kind of play, like, funky kind of house songs, and also, like, Wu-Tang and all the other kinds of hip-hop that wasn't, like, commercial, you know, if you want to, I mean, Wu-Tang is commercial, but you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
At that age, I was listening to stuff and not knowing what I was hearing, but just, I had a blend of, like, house and hip-hop, and it was cool growing up, and then I started playing the drums, man. And that's where I kind of got into music.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Officially.
Would you say, like, as a songwriter, I mean, you mentioned Mamas and Papas and ABBA and things like that, which,
yeah.
you know, for me, arguably some of the greatest songwriters ever in those bands.
Yeah.
Aside from what Wu-Tang were doing and the music you was being exposed to that, you know, that was house music and whatever, you know, and Eminem and things like that, to come out however many years later, you know, somebody that is now writing songs, do you think the kind of the traditional singer-songwriter stylings of the Mamas and the Papas and ABBA and things like that have filtered into your mindset amongst the other stuff?
It's a part of your code, man. Like, because the only way that I understand certain rhythms or cadences or is from that time, you know, like listening to Michael Jackson, that's how I find out what falsetto was, like singing in a, you know, like I never knew that that was even a thing. Yeah. I didn't even know I could, you know? So definitely it's carried through me. Like, that's, I still listen to that music. They're like Fleetwood Mac. Their album's always on repeat in my car and always has been. So yeah, it's a part of your DNA almost. Yeah. Like you grow up listening to that. It's a part of your, you know?
For track three, I'm going to ask you to tell me the song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
with this one, it goes back to what I was just saying about learning to play the drums, man. This was one of the first songs I learned to play, and it's The Darkness, I Believe in a Thing Called Love.
It's a chill, man.
I got really into rock music like early on in like year seven in school and year eight. Because of drumming, it was really only the music that you can find drums on easily anyway. So, and to learn to play to songs, that was what I was doing. So I couldn't tell you most of the songs that I was listening to now because I don't listen to rock. But back then, man, like, I went for a period where I was just skating and playing drums and I loved like Blink-182 and stuff. And just, it was cool. But yeah, The Darkness, man. I don't know what happened to them or the dude. What's the guy's name?
Justin Hawkins.
Yeah, him. Where, I don't know what he's doing, but he
went right off the rails and I think he's pulled it back now and the Darkness are back out again playing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn. I might have to get a lab going with them, man. Yeah, that would be sick.
I'm really intrigued, though, that you know, when you said you bought drums, I presumed that you'd have your headphones on and you'd be drumming breaks to, like, you know, Eminem and stuff like that. I love the fact that you've gone, no, I'm going to pull this in here and I'm going to learn, you know.
Yeah, I think, like, that kind of mental ethos I've always applied is, like, I'm just going to do it the way it's meant to be done.
Yeah.
Rather than just trying to do breaks on a hip-hop song or try and learn that. Like, I'm like, nah, let me go back to the roots and see where it's from. Same with, like, grime. Although I'm not a part of that culture now, I was heavily a part of that 10 years ago in the beginning of, you know, my career with Wu Rhythm. And I think that's just a big thing, is being able to have the knowledge of rock music and drums. And I used to play violin too as a kid. Just all these little bits and adapting it into one thing is cool, man. It's a cool blend to have because I understand sound. That's like my number one thing. Yeah, it's sound.
How was school? Did you enjoy it?
Mm-mm. I hated school. I think I had, as a kid, man, I had a lot of like lonely maybe like disattachment issues from family. This is something I found out in my adult life through therapy and stuff. So I think that affected me in school, man. It was like, I used to be able to see my house from the school playground. And on the lunchtime, I'd see my mom like leaving for work and driving. And I used to hate it. I'd be like, I just want to be at home. And this was from a kid. So I've never really felt like school was for me, man. And then obviously in high school, although I was going to school and doing what I was doing in year 11, I'd given up, man. I just was like, fuck this. Like, I'm not happy with it. And I was never allowed to go in lessons. I was always in isolation. And they put me in the music room on my lunch breaks, because it was the only thing I was passionate about. I'd never go to school in year 11 and some of year 10. My mom would go to work before me, so I'd just be like, yeah, I'm not getting up. I'm just chilling and making beats. And that was what I'd do. But one of those beats that I made, man, I can't remember the day I made it or whatever, because it came back out 3 years later, was that track, Wii Rhythm, and I was 15 years old when I made it.
Really?
It's almost like the blessing of like me not caring about school and doing that thing, like subconsciously made that song. And then I forgot about it. I made that beat in my SATs in year 10, or one of the things. I remember making it, and then it just come out years later and blew up and changed the grime scene forever. But how crazy is it that I hated school, never used to go to school, literally made that beat there. And then it set my life up for life, pretty much, in terms of opening doors for me to put in more work, obviously. But yeah, man.
So was there any other kind of career that you considered, or was, you know, throughout the whole of it, it was like, I enjoy creating stuff. I'm going to be a musician.
It was that from the age of like 15, I was putting out like mixtapes and I beat instrumental CDs and I'd burn them on my mom's computer. It would take forever to burn just one and print off the artwork too. But like, I'd go around the city of Wolverhampton and sell them for £2, man. And I remember I came back one day with £40 and my mom was just like, what? You know, so I've always known from that age that music was it for me. I knew I was going to make it, even though I haven't made it to the point of global success. In my eyes, man, I've done more than enough, because being from Wolverhampton, firstly, to get to where I'm, and the life that I've lived, man, is mad. Like, my close friends know it's been a wild time, but to be where I'm at and just to say I've done the things I've done in my career, I'm content, man. So anything at this point is just like a blessing, you know, an extra blessing.
Was you a confident kid?
Nah. And still don't think I'm the most confident person, but I feel like I'm more reassured in who I am as a person, which is more just like, this is me. But in terms of confidence, I don't think I have. I've never really had the most confidence, you know. Or I wouldn't say I've not had confidence, but I'll just say I haven't been. I'm not that guy that's like, yo, look at me, you know.
Sure.
I'm just like, I'm in the corner.
You're confident in your abilities, though, right?
100%, man. Like, that's the only thing that I feel like I have is my abilities for making music or what I can do to, you know, maybe make changes in other people's lives based on experiences I've had. And that's one thing I love doing is helping others, man. So, yeah.
Tell me the first song you bought from a record store.
It was a Lethal Bizzle vinyl. It was a Lethal B vinyl. And I think, I can't remember what song it was, man. It was the song After Power. So it was like 2004 or 5, but I remember I don't even think it was that time. It might have been before then. Either way, I remember I went to town. There was a shop called Ruby Red Records.
Yeah.
And it was like a classic shop in Wolverhampton. They sold all types of rare garage vinyl to, you know, anyone from Wolverhampton knows Ruby Red Records, or maybe even outside of Wolverhampton, but yeah, I used to go there, man. And then at that time, I was a DJ. I was DJ SX. And I used to have belt drive vinyl Newmark decks, man. And I was out here trying to do something cool.
So it's a record shop. Like, I mean, we've had them in my hometown, and I'm imagining they're the same thing. They're kind of like the epicenter for all the DJs are there, the club promoters are in there, you know, all That's the producers it. Are in there, and it's just a little hub, and it's a great place to connect. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And at the time, like, it's crazy to say that I was right at the end of that era, I'd say, where vinyls was actually a thing, where it was like, you know, you could buy vinyls and play them, but to be a part of that time and just the last like few years of it, so sick, because I got to see it just like normal, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, I haven't had that whole 20 years prior doing it, but like I got to do it, man. So it was like to be able to understand that concept and culture is great, man. Yeah.
You mentioned going out and flogging your CDs for £2 and hustling £40 and then DJing, you know, at a young age. Aside from the confidence,
yeah,
you've continued to carve out a successful career in a really, really fucking difficult industry. I take it you're very driven.
I am, man. I'm very driven. I've got just like, when I know I'm going to do something, it's going to happen. There's nothing no one can do or say to stop it from happening. It's happening, and it will happen in one of the biggest ways too, because that's the level of like, I'm not even looking to do it mediocre or trying to do it in a way that's not, you know, official, man. That's always just been my way. If I'm going to do something, just do it the way. Otherwise, don't. Which is why I feel like I don't do many things, but every time I do, it's something that, so that's what drives me, is to just do it in the best way that I can do it possible and master my craft, and just because that's what it is. Once you know you've mastered your craft and you're mastering it every day, it's only ever going to be a top level product that you're putting out, because you've mastered your craft, you know what I mean? So that's, I'm definitely driven, man.
And I think what you just said there also means that in years to come, you'll never have any shoulda, coulda, wouldas. It's like, I'd done the best I could. I didn't spread myself too thin. I wanted to do that. I set out to do it, and I've done it to the best of my ability.
And I think, like, there was a period where I was trying to do everything and anything. That was when I was first starting out getting in the industry, and things were happening, like, big things, but, like, I was just taking anything I could do, and that's not cool, man, because you'll end up getting in this situation where you don't know who you are as a creative at this time, you know? And I feel like I was putting myself out. As a producer, people don't realize, but you put yourself out for the artists so much, because you're not just giving them a beat and they're doing their thing. You're really spending time vocal producing them, changing up their lyrics. Producing a song is more than just making a beat. And, you know, it's sitting down in the studio with an artist. And the most awkward thing for me is telling an artist who's a big charting artist how to sing a certain cadence or a certain, like, who am I to tell you? But it's like, that's, you need to do it this way because it's the way to do it.
Yeah.
You know? And that, I think that comes to having not much confidence, but believing in my ability, you know? So like, yeah.
So for someone that was DJing and was around that scene, for track five, yeah, I like to ask guests about the song that soundtracked their years clubbing.
Yeah.
I take it you was the other side of the decks.
Yeah, literally, man. Like, with the grime scene, as a producer, if you get a song that pops off in there, you will get bookings in clubs. I was DJing at festivals in Croatia, like Outlook Festival. So, yeah, man, the song that was in the clubs for me was my own thing, because every set I'd be playing Wirrhythm, and that was pretty much, I'm not really a clubbing person. I don't really go out and do that. It's not really my thing. But
what don't you like about it?
It's not to say I don't like it, actually. It's just to say that it's like, I feel like it's, well, maybe the first thing for me was as a kid was alcohol, because that was around my childhood and it was something that I looked at negatively. So my own personal view on that as from childhood to early teens was like, nah, that's not for me, because it's associated with that.
Sure.
So that's what pushed me out. And I'd say now, more in my older life, I'm definitely more on going out for a drink. But now I've realized that we've gained more fame as well. That's harder, because you can't just go out and sit down and just be like, yeah, I'm here to have a good time. It's like people are like coming up to you like, why are you here? You know, like,
and same
like,
reason as you, just want to have a good time.
Literally, man. But no, to say that is not to say I don't. I've definitely changed my views on that growing up, but as a kid, it was never my thing. So I feel like I was never going out to go out. It was more of like a, I'm here to get paid and I'm out type thing. But now I'm, yeah.
So I kind of, like, because, like, again, from a very young age, I was always promoting and DJing and never experienced clubbing as such. And,
yeah.
I often think, like, I wonder if that's just, like, maybe because I was doing that.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
From such an age, I kind of, sort of spoil their magic years, like, of, like, when you see people go clubbing for the first time and they're absolutely loving it. I'd already seen behind the curtain and it was like, ah,
it's
right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, fully. I hear that. I relate to that, man. I feel like I was there for work. And then at that point, it's like, now I know what it's like when you're working. I kind of just don't even, I'd rather just chap a drink at home or just chill or yeah, that's crazy, man. I never went out in my teens.
Yeah.
I never was like that guy that went out. So maybe I'm going to have a midlife crisis and do it all. You know what I mean? We'll see what happens then, man. We'll see what happens.
Well, I'm interested to know what's going to happen for track six, because you sent some songs over and I didn't get an answer for this one, which was a favourite song from an artist from your home county. Is Wolves, is Wolves like that lean?
Do you know what it is? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
There is definitely very much talented artists from here. Like, that's one thing why I wanted to touch on it more so with like an elaborative answer, is like there's so many talented people from the city that don't get looking at their artistry because it's not London perhaps, or it's not like it's a hub where everyone else is there. You know, like the only thing popping off in Wolverhampton really is the football team, and well, that's it. There's no one else here. You know, there's a few people that do their thing here, but in different industries, but there's not really like a whole, it's not a big city. So there's not many big artists from here, man, to be able to say I have a favourite song from someone here. Yeah. And if I do, I'd probably pick my own and I don't want to do it. So, there's a few artists I wanted to shout out real quick. From a legendary artist from Wolverhampton is Zio. He was an MC that someone I looked into growing up. There's artists like Sophie Liu, who is an R&B type artist. She's on the come up too. There's artists like Toldya, that's his name, it's T-O-L-D-Y-A-A. He's like an R&B artist too. So there's a lot of talent. There's other artists too, but I just don't want to, you know, I could be here all day.
Sure.
But I just want people to know, man, there's a lot of talent in Wolverhampton. So check for it, man. Because there's people here that are probably more talented than most people you hear elsewhere, but they just don't get the look in. And yeah.
The reason I set this podcast up was initially I was going to do it on locations, like, and the first season, like, I'm from Essex, and the first season was going to be based in Essex, and this come about because I've got a business with a spoken word artist in a podcast called Scroobius Pip, and I was talking to him like about music, and the conversation was like, Because he lives just around the corner of me, and the amount of times people have been like, oh, what, you don't live in London? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
But you've got, like, records out now. What? How come you don't live in London? It's like, well, I don't want to. I like where I live.
Yeah.
And so that was what made me think about setting this podcast up, was that kind of expectation that to really exceed and find success in the arts, you've got to move to London, or you've got to move to Manchester. You can't do it in these other kind of like little pockets of the country. And I think that the fact that you've had the success you've had, and you're sitting there right now in Wolverhampton going, no, I've done it on my terms. That's why I set this podcast up. I love shit like that.
No, exactly, man. And I think like not being from London is the whole reason why I'm like not in London, because I just want to embrace the fact that I am from Wolverhampton. I'm an ambassador for the club, for the team, you know, like I wear it on my sleeve. I really do with the city. So it's probably a little bit of stubbornness. I probably should have moved to London. I probably have a lot more going on, but you don't need to be from, especially in today's time with TikTok and things, man. Like the internet is all you need. The internet is the world now. That is, you know, we're on a Zoom call right now.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so it's like the internet, man. That is the new world, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I reckon it's going to catch on. I really do, man.
People need to get onto it, man.
Right, last track, and this is I'm going to take you back to your DJ roots, and this is when you can be a tastemaker and turn someone on to something new. And so for the final track, I'm going to ask you to tell me a song that you think many people may not know that you would like them to hear, please.
Well, this one I've chose a song that's very personal to me, and the song that I'm proud of. It's off my new mixtape, actually. A Repeat Wouldn't Go Amiss, out August 13th, or now if you're listening late, just a quick plug there, you know. But it's called Loopholes, man, and it's a song that I'm proud of. It's a song that I personally fell out of love with for like a whole year. The song's about 2 years old now, but obviously it's new to the listeners. So that's the song that I want people to listen to and take away from that. I want you to take away that, you know, this whole project is a piece of a time where I was in a relationship and just a mental state that just wasn't where I want to be at, you know. It's not the most ideal situation. That's why it's called A Repeat When I Go Amiss. And Loopholes is a song that kind of just reflects on that whole message, I'd say.
A couple of questions to ask you if you're having a day where you feel low. Do you try and find a positive in that and try and create something and use them emotions, for your art?
A lot of the time, yeah. But sometimes, no. I think sometimes I might not even realise I'm having a shit time, or because I'm so busy as well. So it's like, it's hard. It's not like you can just wake up and be like, oh yeah, having a shit day today. I'm just going to, you know, some days, man, I wake up and I'm feeling good. And then I have bipolar disorder. So it could just be one instance, like the smallest thing that just changes my whole bullshit stuck to the door. that changes my whole outlook on everything, you know. So that's a pretty something that I struggle with and deal with, you know, weekly. So it's something I don't always go to making music anymore, because I found that I don't just want to keep making these kind of like records that are so personal to me and so somewhat sad, somewhat emotional. I want to get into making songs that are more happier, you know, remind me of a better time, because of me making songs so long about negative times. But on bad days, man, I just do what I want to do. That's why it goes back to what you said at the beginning. I might just be like, you know what? I'm sorry, man. I'll cancel everything today. I'm sorry. Like, I know it's shit, but I can't. How am I supposed to turn up when I'm like this? You know, and it's just hard. So there's certain instances where I found within my career, some things were going to happen, but I felt like, you know, I don't want to take it that deep, but I felt like shit that day. So I've not gone with it, and I've lost out on certain opportunities and relationships, working relationships, because of that, because of wasting people's time, money as well. But you know what? Like, at least I'm okay, and it's not selfish to prioritize your own thing, man, because it's more harmful for me, and it's something that I've bottled up for over the last 10 years, just being like, nah, it's okay, man. Like, nah, it's not. So on days when I'm bad, man, I'm just doing what I
want to
do.
And rightly so. And I think we're living in a world that's evolving rapidly to understand this more. Do you know what I mean? I think we're living in a more forgiving and understanding world now, certainly when it comes to mental health and importantly, male mental health as well. I think that's something that there's been a hell of a lot of work being put into, you know, over the last few years to kind of raise awareness to that. But it's not selfish. It's paramount, you know, your happiness. And I think, as you said earlier, like, if you're not happy, the work that you produce ain't going to be good. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the thing is, the music is still good. It's just, it sounds like I'm trying to just be fucking... it's like my mom calls it death music. So
I mean, that's pretty low, isn't it?
Yeah. say no more, so I'll leave it there with that one. But I just feel like I wanted to get, I don't want to make music that's emotional anymore. I want to make music that makes people feel like, oh shit. You know what? It's a writing process, man. I've stopped writing so hands-on about a certain situation or directly what happened, and I'm starting to write it more cleverly now and be like suggestive wording rather than this is directly what happened, because then the listener can listen to a song too and feel the deepness of it, the depth of it, but not necessarily directly to what I'm, the scenario I'm talking about. It's more what they could reflect or take from it. And that's what I'm really trying to do, man, is focus on that. Yeah.
Well, we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany this podcast so people can go and listen to all of the tracks that you've chosen. And so as we find ourselves in a country where there's no restrictions anymore and clubs are open and gigs are happening and festivals are happening, for the remainder of 2021, what are you looking forward to personally and what else is happening professionally?
Oh, man, touring. Because that's the only thing that makes you feel like an artist, a performer, you know, like is performing. So my first show is actually at Reading and Leeds Festival. So nice. I'm pretty excited to go in at the deep end, man. So I'm excited, man. The rest of this year, I just want to tour, do shows, promote my music as much as I can directly to the fans. And like, that's what they're ready for as well. You can't release music and not go and tour it or touch the people. Like, you can't. It's weird.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm excited for normality again, to be honest with you. Whatever that means. I don't know if things are normal anymore, but just not feeling guilty for living life how we have for the whole of our lives, almost, I feel like. That's what I'm looking forward to, man.
Yeah.
And personally, just working on being a better person every day and with more understanding and, you know, just trying to be a better person for myself as well. Yeah.
Mate, it's been an absolute delight talking records with you, man.
Thank you, man. Likewise.
Thank you so much, mate.
Thank you, man. It's been a good conversation, hasn't it? I've enjoyed it.
There you go. Loved it. Like, what a kind soul. Like, love the fact that, you know, he's stuck to his roots and he stayed in Wolverhampton. Love how open and honest he was about working on yourself, taking time for yourself. And, yeah, really interesting hearing somebody that is, you know, making super current music in one of the most competitive genres, you know, finding out how he approaches songwriting and intros and hooking people quickly with them songs. It was absolutely loved that. And if you've got a fraction of the joy from listening to that as I did from having it, then we've all had a great time. Thanks ever so much again to SX for that. Thanks to Daisy for facilitating that chat. Big thanks to my producer, 76, and to Scribius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. Like I say, if you want to go and explore the back catalogue, please do that. There's also a Patreon where I put up radio shows and video episodes and all sorts of stuff over there. And you can find out about everything that I've just mentioned at www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. I'm back next time. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. It's Off the Beat and Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. Keep me, Stu, with him.